This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
There is a sense among experts in the country that South Africa should create a financial policy that cushion the country to protect itself, of course, against pending global catastrophes that may arise, that perhaps there's a suggestion maybe far worse than what happened in 2008 with the global recession. But this is, of course, a sense coming from looking at what is happening in the Russia-Ukraine political debacle. Let's look at these matters. There was a debate yesterday in the University of Johannesburg. One of the panelists was Dr. Kingsley Makubela. He's director at Risk Recon. Dr. Makubela, good evening. Welcome to Capricorn Talk.
Good evening, Gamola, and thanks for the invitation.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Well, you were part of the experts that were discussing potential risks that the economy faces, and this may be as an impact, as a ripple effect, if you will, from the political debacle there in Russia and Ukraine. Talk to us about the potential risks that you foresee.
Well, Ngamula, we address Greek on our contribution in that debate that is going on. It is basically looking at the conflict and looking at the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the South African foreign policy. We at RISCON, we are bringing an element that we thought the public should start to debate it, and policymakers and business people should start to look into that. Mm. The implication of the Russian war, and we've seen the Russian war. We've seen a trend that is starting to emerge. Mm. And this trend that is emerging, it basically says that the US dollar is no longer a dominant currency in the world, because the yuan is becoming a big dominant currency. Mm. Since the US decided they're going to slap sanction on Russia, I mean, they blocked about 630 billion worth of Russian foreign reserve. Mm. So the Russians have decided that they would sell their oil and their gas using the ruble, essentially undermining the current financial system because they are banned from using the SWIFT. Mm. And actually, the IMF has looked at the behavior of the U.S. with respect to engagement in the war in terror and looked at the decline of the dollar. And that decline of the dollar has been really concerning. As I'm saying, even a Wall Street shows that clearly the rapid declining of the purchasing power of the dollar and the dwindling hold of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency has serious implications. Mm. And this new world that is emerging, I mean, it's an alternative to the Bretton Woods institution, it's an alternative to the SWIFT system. And the Russians, the Indians, and the Chinese, they seem to be putting resources together to provide a better transaction mechanism. Because, as I'm saying, the dollar has been weaponized. Yeah. I mean, the former governor of the Reserve Bank of India, Mr. Ranguram Rajan, captured it so well. He says it's the economic weapon of mass destruction, the weaponization of the dollar. Mm. And that has just been dropped on the Russian. But it has created realignment of forces. Mm. And this realignment of forces is posing serious threats to countries like us.
And when talking about that, the realignment, across which financial lines are we seeing the realignment?
I mean, you're starting to see the Indians for quite some time have banned the use of MasterCard in India. Mm. They've introduced a rupee. The Russians have introduced Sputnik. And it seems there's an agreement that the Indian transaction system, the equivalent of SWIFT, will become the more dominant force. And you have within the Shanghai Cooperation Agreement countries that are starting to really question the behavior of the U.S. in terms of weaponizing the dollar. Mm. You can't, Ngamula, once you have a reserve kept in dollars and unilaterally an administration in the state decides to block the sovereign wealth of this country, people are bound to think twice. And the U.S. has been printing, you won't believe this, in the last 2 years, about $120 billion a month flooding the market. And you see in the stock markets that are basically inflated because there's a buyout from government. This well-doing, people say the stock markets are doing well, has no correlation with the economic activities. So and the projection by economists is that this is a serious bubble that is about to burst. And they are projecting that the implication will be much bigger than what transpired in 2008, you know, during the financial crisis. So we are saying we should not be debating whether we support Russia or we should support Ukraine. We should look at what is emerging and decide to develop policies that are going to cushion us against this threat and look at the opportunities, of course, that are emerging because of this realignment of forces and see how we're going to interface with that.
When you talk about cushioning us, there are those that would have said that what slightly also cushioned us in during the recession in 2008 was the infrastructure projects that we had here in the country, building stadia for the World Cup. And now what can we use to cushion us?
Well, we have to look at the opportunities because this realignment of forces is not only a threat, it also presents opportunity. It presents better financial models for countries to borrow money across the board. So we have to look at those issues. I mean, there's been a discussion around the BRICS Bank, how to access that, and the capital that may be available within the BRICS Bank, and how we're going to manage that, as opposed to structural reform that was imposed in most countries by the Bretton Woods institution, actually due to the detriment of some of these economies in the developing world. So there are opportunities that I imagine, not only threats, but are we having... This is what we are raising at yesterday's debate. As a country, are we having a discourse to say, how do we take advantage of this realignment of forces? How do we cushion ourselves against the threats that I mentioned? And have a discussion along those similar directions.
In terms of BRICS, we are there, but how can we use that to our advantage?
BRICS remains a very good instrument, but you will realize, Ngamula, that during this crisis between Russia and Ukraine, BRICS has been silent. And the silence of BRICS has been really deafening. And I think this realignment I'm talking about, that includes India, China, Russia, and Iran has joined that. And to look at the Shanghai Cooperation Agreement, is going to become the alternative force and a very strong force. I mean, if you look at those countries, you're speaking about more than 3 billion people. So that's huge economies of scale that we need to think of. And if you have better trading patterns and transfers of technologies and so on that exist among those countries, and if we plug into that, can you imagine access to that kind of a huge market? What are the benefits to the country? So these are the debates that we should be engaging. And the world that is starting to emerge coming from the West is them and us. You are either with us or with them, and they decide if you are not with us, they impose unilateral sanction on you and block your financial institution, which is not sustainable. I mean, Namala, what is emerging now, it's pathetic. I mean, yesterday I was reading that Daniel Medvedev, a Russian tennis player, he's being forced to condemn his government. If he doesn't condemn his government, he's not going to participate at the Wimbledon competition. But you're going to see that behavior extended to economy. They're going to tell us that you must sell us your platinum at this price. If you don't, no one must buy the platinum. So you're starting to see that unilateralism and dictatorship of big powers against smaller and developing economies. So we need to really start to think about these issues and develop policies that are going to be able to challenge this thing and deal with them head on, because there's not governments in the international sphere. We all look at our own interests. And I think we should have that discussion, not only at the government level, the business level, the media level, and everyone.
It's 9 minutes before 8. This is Capricorn Talk. We're talking to Dr. Kingsley Makubela. He is director at Risk Recon. So, Dr. Makubela, how exposed are we as a country to the possibilities of the superpowers dictating to us on an economic level?
We, you know, developing countries are very much exposed. You would recall that we have a debt that we're taking from the Bretton Woods institution.
Mm.
And by virtue of that, our level of exposure and our reliance in dollar and keeping our foreign reserve in the U.S. dollar is the biggest threat. Now that the petrodollar actually may be a thing of the past, and there's a projection also by the IMF. So we remain very much exposed, and the printing of the dollars by the U.S. Reserve Bank, what they call quantitative easing, poses a serious threat against developing countries. Can you imagine tomorrow if we decide to print rands as we wish, the indication it would have on economies of countries like Swaziland, Namibia, and Lesotho that are really pegged to the rand, it would be worse. In countries where we're keeping our reserves in the U.S. dollars, and if you keep on seeing this decline of the dollar, I mean, it's a serious problem because the purchasing power of the dollar in the last 20 years has lost about 40% in the last 20 years.
Mm.
And mainly because, this is what the projections are, mainly because the U.S. has weaponized the dollar. When they started the campaign on war and on terror, they weaponized the dollar. And that has created the problem. This is a view, actually, that comes from a guy called Michael Hannett, who works for the Bank of America, who's cautioning against this weaponization of the dollar that creates a balkanization of the reserve currencies of choice. And of course, it threatens the dominant one, which is the U.S. dollar. I mean, so far, the U.S. dollar, about 12 point something trillion that are kept in foreign reserve by different countries, is what is kept in the dollar. And the printing of this money, of course, it helps the U.S., but it affects developing countries.
When we're looking at our debts, we're looking at our bilaterals as a country and where we are subscribing on our economy. In terms of the exposure, where we are, which countries have serious leverage to us that they can literally dictate to us what to do and wouldn't have much say, especially looking at how our economy has been in the last few years?
It's a country that we are indebted to them. It's a huge challenge because we have so much debt that is controlled by these developed countries within the context of the Bretton Woods institution. But the new emerging powers, the economic powers I'm talking about, countries like China and so on, have better modalities of dealing with developing countries. And I think that's where we have better advantages because there are no legacies, colonial legacies that they are trying to protect and so on. But if you look at the dominant countries within who are having the biggest influence within the Bretton Woods institution, who actually even decides who heads the World Bank, who heads the IMF, because they share this among themselves within the developed countries, and we are left out. We have no say in terms of that. This is where the biggest threat is. But the new world is emerging, and Gamula, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And this emerging of the new world is emerging by accident. I think the sanctions that have imposed on Russia have actually shown a level of exposure that developed countries have. I mean, I was reading an article that Americans are driving across to Mexico to go and buy petrol because it's much cheaper there, because it's subsidized there. So you start to see demonstration in those developed countries around basic commodities that one, those which were unthinkable in the last few years. So, and this is forcing the emergence of a new world order that looks into the better management, the better financial management and transaction and flow of capital across countries. I think that's where we need to start plugging ourselves, debating that issues and seeing what is in our strategic interest as a country.
So, but the other thing I hear you to be saying is we need to read what is happening out there, but be decisive. And the moment is now.
The moment is now. I think we shouldn't give in to this issue of them and us. There's been a lot of pressure for South Africa to condemn Russia. People are even starting to insinuate some level of lack of investment, discouraging that as a form of punishment against South Africa. I think as a country, we should assert our sovereign right to engage with any country and to look at our strategic interests as a country. And then we need to focus. But we're going to need better intelligence, good analysis of information, and that would help us to make decisions that are informed by what is emerging. This is not the time for thumbsuck, because any thumbsuck during this process could be very fatal for the country.
Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Makubela. Appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, Ngamula, and thanks for the opportunity.
Good evening.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.